Hey, friends, it's time for summer shorts. That's right. Usually this podcast is about 20, 30 minutes, maybe an hour when I have a guest. But today and for the next several weeks, while y'all are on vacation, while you just happen to be checking in or not checking in at all, I'm going to just share some insights about a lot of different things. Some of them will be culture related. Some of them will just be points of inspiration for you, something that you can listen to real quick, get a dose of some inspiration and continue on with your day and continue on with becoming a better human being when it comes to navigating cross-cultural. So I hope you're excited about this. I am. And let's get ready to go.
Welcome to Culture Coach, a podcast with me, Nikki Lerner, helping you to engage in a proactive movement towards unity and understanding as it relates to culture and come from. Thanks for joining me today. You ready to go? Let's get started.
Hey, thanks again so much for listening. You know, I wanted to create a space each week where you and I can learn about different cultures and come froms in a safe, non-threatening, non-embarrassing environment. I hope you enjoy this podcast. For more creative resources and ideas, you can engage with me at NikkiLerner.com. Most of my work as a coach and a consultant is aimed towards people who are on their first steps journey towards healthy, multicultural work and life, whether that's in their work world, their organizational life, their faith community, wherever they find themselves. That is where my work is directed towards. And one of the things that I've learned is that, particularly when I started, is that it's really important to answer the question, who is the work for? It's actually one of the best questions I've heard from Seth Godin, who I really appreciate. I appreciate his work. But he says, you know, you always have to determine who is your work for? Who is it aimed at? And that's a really important question to answer, particularly in the diversity space, because people tend to lump the diversity space and the diversity work as all one thing, all under one umbrella and one way to do things. But the reality is that it's a topic, right? Diversity in the workplace or multicultural community life, faith community, whatever it is, that is the topic. But under that topic, there are a lot of different lanes. And it's really important, not only for someone like me as a coach, as an advisor, as you know, someone trying to help people along the journey, to know what it is that I do and who the work is for. But it's also really important as you just kind of go in and out of learning from different teachers, learning from, you know, maybe you have somebody coming in at your workplace already or in your church or in your organization to teach you about diversity. It's really important that you know from that person who is their work for. Because someone whose lane or whose desire is to figure out, you know, how do I get involved in the efforts towards social justice and justice within the criminal system, right? And if that's what you're looking for, to engage with someone like me or someone else whose focus is not those things, not that we don't care about it, it's still under the same topic, but it's not our expertise, you can find yourself very frustrated. And so it's really important, not only for the coach, but for the person who is seeking out the coach or seeking out the consultant, seeking out the work, it's really important for you to know what is the lane, what is the expertise of the person that you're working with. And so for me, that expertise is I like to be the on-ramp. I like to help people who are just on the front end of the journey, that are a little bit scared, a little bit nervous, a little bit unsure about whether or not they should put their foot in this water. My job is to lovingly help people get into the water to provide a sense of safety and non-judgment and care and concern and coaching with people who need that. Many of my business and organizational clients, when they come to a realization that they want to make some change or they need to make some change around culture in their workplace, one of the first things that they do, and it makes sense to me, but one of the first things that they do is usually to say, we need a diversity committee, or we need a diversity task force, or a group on race and business, or whatever it is. And look, I get it. I understand that that can be a really easy kind of low-hanging fruit thing to do. And I would say that rather than a company doing nothing, I actually think that this could be a good step. However, I'm not a big fan of the diversity committee, task force, whatever. And here's why. And here's really the reason why. Is that diversity teams, task forces have no authority. And usually what happens is the people who have the authority and the power in an organization want to start with the places within the organization that actually have no power and no agency around the issue that they're trying to change. And really, if that group of people have no authority whatsoever, then all of the things that they engage in and the time that they take, that becomes a nicety to the leaders of that organization, particularly if the leaders don't do anything about it. Now, I have one client that I work with in the business world that has a diversity committee, and the owner of the company is actually part of the diversity committee. So right away, when they started this, they already have somebody sitting at the table who actually has power and agency to do something about it. And the owner's very presence at this table shows that the company itself, the people who can actually make change, really care about these things. But that's not the norm. Usually a diversity task force is made up of a bunch of different types of people in the organization, and they are usually tasked with look at our organization, look at our company, and tell us where we need to fix some stuff. And let me just be clear, that's good. It's good to start there, but that is not a long-term solution in any organization unless that team has some authority. Again, let me just reiterate this again, that in organizational life, when we start with, want to start the culture work journey towards greater multicultural effectiveness, we cannot start in places in the organization that have no power and have no agency. I know that is the easiest place to start for many leaders as they look at the organization, but really where the change needs to happen first is at the top of the organization. A better question, or the beginning question to ask when you're leaning into this work, is how do we diversify the senior management team? How do we diversify our board of directors? How do we diversify and make room for people who can sit at this table and actually have some authority? That's really a better question to ask. To start in the lower levels of the organization only will only get you so far. And if you're honest, you know, as a leader, as an owner of a business, you know, I believe that workers and employees, even volunteers in your organization, are only going to tell you so much because you're the leader. You have to start where there's some power and some agency. One of the other podcasts that I shared was called What if it didn't take a long time? If you haven't heard that, I would encourage you to go back and listen to it, because oftentimes this is why things take a long time, is because organizations and leaders start with the lowest level in the organization that has no power, no agency, and then they're trying to make change. And then the leaders, well-meaning leaders, oftentimes can continue to sit in their comfort, in their comfort level with how things are being done, because it doesn't impact them. There's another podcast that I shared with you all called, When It Doesn't Impact You. This is the same kind of principle. So today on this short, I want to encourage you that diversity teams, task forces, committees, whatever you call it, are a good idea temporarily or for a project work, but long term, they are not the answer to the cultural organizational change that you long to make. You have to start and you have to begin making room at the top of the organization, because that is where the power and the agency is, and that is where you need to start. Don't be afraid to start there. Don't be afraid to poke and ask, why are these people on the management team? Why are they on your senior leadership team? If you're in a faith community, why are these people at the pastoral table? Where are all the other people? Why are these people chosen to be elders of your faith community or your board of directors or whatever it is? Why are these people here? Is this team made up of people because they are the right people to move you into a diverse future in your organization? Or are they there because of title and tenure and the fact that they lead a team? These are the questions that you have to ask. Do not start in the lower part of the organization. Start at the head always, and you will see the results and the change that you long to make, to have a more multicultural, healthy multicultural workspace, work culture, and ultimately a more multicultural life. Hey, thanks so much for making the time to listen. If you like the insight today, tell your friends and be part of the newsletter at nickilearner.com. Remember, it takes that first decision to realize your vision for a more generous, multicultural life. I'll see you next week.